Our reading this morning for the lesson will be from Romans 12, verses 3 through 9. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads, with zeal. The one who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good.
I think I speak for a lot of us. This congestion has stopped a lot of our throats and lungs up recently. When I realized that I wasn't going to be able to teach the class and lead the singing and do the preaching this morning, my first thought was to call on Mike and ask him if he would lead our singing. I really thought he would lead from down here, and that certainly would have been fine, Mike. But I don't know if all of you noticed, but Mike has a difficult time climbing stairs and walking, and it really does make us love him even more that he still remains so very, very active in our public worship and in our congregation. So, Mike, thank you from the very bottom of my heart. Also, if you hadn't have told them that I selected most of those songs, I was going to compliment you on your song selection today also. No, I was telling Bob Davis, if my voice starts giving out again today, he can bring me another bottle of ice and maybe I can use that. I want to introduce, before my lesson, I want to introduce the title of my lesson. I think it's in the Sunday sheet. It says, Replacing Facebook with FTF. And we'll be talking about that in a moment. Replacing Facebook with FTF. You know, brethren, we live in an age, a generation in the last many years desiring to be connected. Everybody wants to be connected. You just don't go anywhere anymore without your cell phone, your smartphone, your iPhone. I know a lot of you are involved with FaceTime and email and Twitter and Instagram and Facebook. That's the grandfather of all of them. I think some of you use Facebook, and God bless you. You use it correctly, and there is certainly nothing wrong with doing that. But it seems that the more and more we try to connect technically, the less and less we connect personally. And brethren, it is this personal connection that God is interested in. You know, all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, right after God made Adam, almost the first thing he said was, it's not good for this man to be alone. Genesis 2 verse 18. And you and I really believe, are hardwired wanting to connect. We're hardwired wanting to belong. We're hardwired wanting to be accepted. But if you ask me, the things I've mentioned, Facebook and so forth, is not the connection that God is interested in. You know, one of the things that God is consistent in, especially in the New Testament, is this idea of His people having a connection. In fact, one of the words that's chosen to describe this connection, one of my favorite New Testament words, is the word fellowship. Now, fellowship is more than just eating together every first Sunday in the annex. Fellowship is literally sharing each other's lives. That's what the church is all about. That's how we're going to make friends and bring them to church with us. That's the fellowship, that's the connection that God is interested in. So it's not Facebook, and I'm not trying to disparage Facebook, but it's FTF, face to face. That's the kind of fellowship that God wants. So let me say it that way. It's not Facebook. It's fellowship that should be our connection. I want to begin this morning with one of our favorite Old Testament passages. I want to read the first part of this passage from the King James, and then I want to use a different translation for the latter part. But the first of this passage says, "A merry heart doeth good like a medicine," Proverbs 17, verse 22. The latter part from another translation, "But a broken spirit drains a person of his strength." I like that wording, and it's true. This disconnect that so many people have is discouraging. When we feel we're alone, we're discouraged. When we feel that things are not going our way, we're discouraged. And this discouragement is going to lead us down two roads. We're either going to start complaining, or we're going to start feeling sorry for ourselves. And brethren, it is this fellowship that will keep us from doing that. If we don't correct that discouragement, it's going to lead to bitterness. And brethren, you know as well as I do, bitterness will not only ruin my life, it will also ruin the life of everyone in which I have contact. That's why we need friends. The Bible says if you want to have friends, be friendly. That's why we need friends. That's why we need fellowship. That's not why we need face-to-face fellowship. Not with technology, but with our eyes and our heart and our ears and our mouth. That's what we need. We need to encourage each other along those lines. You know, John 13, 35 is another one of our favorite passages of Scripture. In the context, Jesus is talking about love, the kind of love that He has for us, the kind of love that we need for each other. And He says, it is by that kind of love that all men will know that we are His disciples indeed. If we have that kind of love for each other. What kind of love is He talking about? He's talking about fellowship. He's talking about face-to-face knowing each other. He's talking about communicating with each other. He's talking about connecting with each other. In fact, it's later stated this way. Matthew 22, Jesus is asked, what is the first commandment of the law? What is the great commandment? Jesus does not hesitate. Love God and love each other. That's the first and great commandment. All of the law of Moses, all of the teaching of the prophets, and let me add, the teaching of Jesus all revolves around that. And if people have a problem with that verse, or let me say it this way, if people have a problem with Christianity, they're going to have a problem with that verse. Because in the world, we see too many people who are in love with the wrong things. They love prestige. They love honor, they love wealth, and in and of themselves, there's nothing wrong with that. But we first have to love God. That is our priority. Love God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Mark even adds strength with the totality of our life, and a second is like unto it. Love one another as I have loved you. That's the kind of love that sets us apart. Relationships. That's what it's all about. Relationships with God, relationships with each other, which will flow into the community, and we can have a relationship with the people of the world. Now, you don't need to turn to it. I'm sure you know it already. I'm going to read from Hebrews 10:25. Now, anytime a preacher talks about Hebrews 10:25, somebody's going to say, oh, he's going to stress the essentiality of our regular Bible attendance, or our regular attendance at Bible class and at church. And I will mention that even in this lesson. But let's jump from that first part of the verse to the latter part of the verse. After Paul, if he is the penman that God uses, talks about our regular fellowship, he says, this is why you need to get together, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Brethren, Paul here is saying that exhorting has to do with being with each other. That's fellowship, sharing our lives with each other. So that's why we need to exhort. Our second point in our lesson, how can we be effective in this exhortation or in this encouragement? Let's go back to Hebrews 10:25. Let's read the whole context of that verse. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. When we come together, we are to exhort one another. Now, brethren, I have actually never heard a preacher or member who denied that verse, nor have I ever heard preacher or member trying to explain that verse away. Everyone knows that Paul here is talking about assembling together as our custom is, and while we are here to exhort one another. I've never heard anyone deny it, preacher or member. But there are a lot of people that, well, I shouldn't have said it that way. There are some people that evidently want to overlook that verse. They evidently just want to explain away that verse. Brethren, it can't be done. For fellowship to be accomplished, for this exhortation, for this encouragement, we've got to be together. We cannot miss that point. Fellowship equals encouragement. Now, at this point, let me mention another very, very well-known passage of Scripture. And this passage is going to tell us how the early church made it through those very, very difficult times. And brethren, they were very, very difficult. The Jews had turned against the young church. The Romans were against the young church. The Pharisees certainly were against the young church. This passage of Scripture is going to tell us how they made it. And brethren, if they needed it, if they made it because they accomplished these things, then we need to realize we need to apply these things to our lives as well. In a moment, I'm going to read Acts 2:42. But before we even do that, I'm going to explain that verse in narrative form. The way the early church made it during those difficult days, right after the establishment of their church, obviously the only reason they were able to make it is because they gave themselves to Bible study, to find out what Jesus' teaching was. They gave themselves to worship. They gave themselves to prayer. And they gave themselves to fellowship. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. Brethren, I'm not a preacher of gloom and doom. Absolutely not. I believe I'm a realist, though. Unless we get back to our Bible study even more than we have been, unless we get back to our worship even more than we have, unless we get back to our prayer, and in this lesson, unless we get back to the kind of fellowship that draws the congregation of the body of Christ together, we're not going to make it. Not in this world, not in the 21st century, not with the lack of morals and mores that we see even in our own country. Unless we do these things, we are not going to make it. They would not have made it in the first century and will not make it in the 21st century. Brethren, we've just got to commit ourselves to the Lord. We've got to commit ourselves to His church. We've got to commit ourselves to each other. That's what encouragement or exhortation is. That's what fellowship is. Feeling for each other, knowing each other. Jesus says we are the family of God. We need to react to each other that way. Now, I have alluded to a passage of Scripture a couple of times already. Let me mention it again. Paul writes we need to exhort one another. I'm not going to begin to try to pronounce the Greek word that is more often than not translated exhortation or exhort, even encourage. They come from the same root word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Greek word. It's very, very difficult. But we would normally think, well, it's got to be a very positive word. You know, exhort, encourage. It's got to be a very positive word. Actually, the word in the Greek language is of a negative connotation. It means to irritate or to incite, to get someone's attention. I ran across this illustration. I want to use it. Once upon a time, there was a factory that was having difficulty, and they needed to sign a new contract with the workers. So management and workers got together, and they came up with this contract to sign. And let me say, it was a very, very good contract, very fair, more fair than one would think. But the stipulation was everybody had to sign off on it. Everybody had to sign off on it. So everybody did. When it was explained to them, everyone was eager to sign off on this new contract. It was such a good contract, except old Sam. I hope nobody's named Sam out here today. Except old Sam, he worked in the warehouse on the backside of the factory. He wouldn't sign. Well, they sent some of his friends back there. You need to sign. They sent some other people. You need to sign. He refused to sign. Finally, he was called into the boss's office. And the boss said, "Now, Sam, this is a good contract. You need to sign it. It's a good contract, but we have to have 100% sign off. But it's a good contract. You need to sign. And if you don't sign, Sam, I'm going to have to fire you." Well, Sam just reached up, grabbed the pen, signed the ledger. That was the end of that. Well, the boss said, "You know, I've got to ask, why were you so hesitant and now you're so eager?" He said, "Boss, nobody explained it quite so strongly before as you did." Brethren, that's basically the idea of exhortation, encouragement, to exhort, to encourage. Basically, that's the idea of fellowship. In a strong, loving, and positive way, we are to incite each other, to prod each other, to poke each other, to love and good works. Now, to some of you, that's very, very easy. It doesn't come so easily, though, to some of us. But regardless of whether it's natural or regardless of whether we've got to work at it, it is something that needs to be done. It is necessary for us as an individual Christian, and it is necessary for us as a congregation. We've got to provoke one another to love and good works. Now, as I begin our conclusion, I want to reference just one verse that Barry read a moment ago. He read from Romans chapter 12. I'm going to reference verse 8. But in that context, I wanted him to read the whole context, because in that context, Paul was talking about the spiritual gifts of the first century, the miraculous gifts, various gifts. But the encouragement was for you to use the gift, the ability, the talent that God had given you. I want to read it from the New Living Testament. I had him read from the English Standard. This is the New Living Testament. "If you have a gift for showing kindness, do it gladly." If you have the gift, the talent, the ability to be kind, then be kind. You know, brethren, sometimes the best way, though, to show our kindness is not by talking, it's by listening. I will assure you, we learn much more about each other by listening than we do by talking. In fact, we can't learn anything about someone else unless we listen to them. If we understand who they are, what they are, their likes and their dislikes, their strengths and their weaknesses, that's going to lead us to a feeling of fellowship. Now, I don't give advice. I don't believe in giving advice. Listening leads us to compassion. Giving advice probably is ultimately going to lead to disagreement. Therefore, we need to listen. You know, I like to use the illustration of a face. God gave us two eyes, two ears, only one mouth. Is he maybe saying we need to look more than we talk or listen more than we speak? Well, maybe so and maybe not. One last passage of scripture from Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Paul writes, exhort one another every day. Exhort, build each other up every day. I want to single out three groups, and then I want to single out all of us together. First, I single out us husbands. Brothers, not a day should go by that we do not encourage our marriage, exhort our spouses by telling them how much we love and appreciate them. Children, not a day should go by that we do not encourage and exhort our family by telling our parents in words and in action how much we appreciate them. And brethren, as a Christian, not a day should go by. In fact, not really an hour should go by. Not even a minute should go by that we, by our lives, are not expressing our gratitude to God for all he has given. And finally, as a congregation, not a day should go by that we don't let each other know how much we love each other. Just like prayer is without ceasing, so should be encouragement. One last story. I want to tell you, this is a silly story, and I'm going to tell you why I'm telling this silly story when I'm through telling this silly story. Once upon a time, there was a small community that had an annual county fair. Well, the county fair lasted all week, but the closing ceremonies were Sunday afternoon, but they always started the activities late enough in the afternoon so everyone could go to church, and they made sure it was over so everyone was able to go back to the church. That's the way it used to be. Well, in one particular congregation, there were four men, and they sang in a barbershop quartet, and they were really bad. And I'm really going to express that strongly. They were really bad. Their bass singer sounded like a billowing bullfrog. Their tenor singer sounded like an injured animal. And they were the best two singers in the quartet. But on the very day that they were to sing at the county fair, the preacher preached the same sermon I did. How we need to encourage each other, not to tear each other down. We need to build each other up. And in that congregation, there was one particular lady that just exemplified encouragement. She always had a positive, loving thing to say. She was known as a living Barnabas in that congregation. Well, she also attended the concert, and they were even worse than they had ever been before when this quartet sang. And as they were leaving the stage, she was heard to say, "Aren't they walking nicely today?" Now, I told that silly story just to make sure I got everyone's attention, because I want to make one positive statement as we conclude. And the reason I make this statement is because it is simple, but more than that, it is biblical. Let me base this statement on Solomon's writing in Proverbs 12, verse 25. Heaviness in the heart brings a man down, but a good word makes him glad. And another translation says, an encouraging word builds him up. Brethren, that's what we need to do. We need to be house builders and not destruction people. We need to build the house of God strongly and on the foundation of Jesus Christ. Because when we're dead and gone, this congregation is going to still be in existence. We need to give it an opportunity to be a faithful and strong congregation. I normally don't do this. I really don't know why. But I'd like to conclude with a prayer. Will you bow with me, please? Father, you've told us that our words have power of life and death. And now we pray that you will grant us understanding and compassion, that we may see each other, our strengths and our weaknesses, our hopes and our despairs, our efforts and our failures, and be an encouragement to each other for the sake of your Son. And may we daily touch each other with your love and your understanding. And may we daily encourage each other, not just today, but every day. And this we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I really did not mention first principles in the lesson tonight or today, but I think probably everyone here